He is CBS Chief Washington Correspondent, created fascinating podcasts like Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen, the author of Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, takes you behind the scenes during Trump's first term, and also has the book The Big Truth. He anchors The Takeout on CBS News. You can watch it on air and online, especially YouTube. And also, Major just cracked the code. So you can go onto podcasts and get The Takeout. So I listened to your extended interview with Jamal Khashoggi's widow. My goodness.
Yes.
That was emotional. Mm-hmm. That was incredible. So thank you for giving me that hot tip. Major Garrett, joining us.
Yes, the show exists in several spaces, but we do a lot of long-form stuff, which is part of the origin story of The Takeout. As you know, The Takeout existed for 8 years simply as a podcast, and then it was a streaming show, but it was a long-form interview, and I wanted to keep that DNA with the streaming television show that's Monday through Friday and has to conform to the limitations of 1 hour of TV with commercials. So we do that. But we also, whenever we can, do the long-form stuff so we preserve that original DNA.
I love that. So I wanted to talk about international news with Ukraine. Mm-hmm. They're agreeing in principle to a peace plan being brokered by the U.S. So in principle, what does that mean?
It means not quite yet. Agreed. This morning, a U.S. official was quoted not only by reporters at CBS, but many others as saying they had signed on. And then about 4 or 5 hours later, it wasn't even before noon here on the East Coast, Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, said, well, not entirely. There's still some delicate details that need to be negotiated, which means even the Ukrainian side of it wasn't fully on board, moved in a very agreeable direction from the vantage point, principally of the Secretary of State, also National Security Advisor Marco Rubio, but not all the way there, but farther and closer to an agreement than the Ukrainians were last week when they were sort of given this 28-point near ultimatum that was lopsidedly in favor of Russian priorities. The Ukrainians, with the Europeans, redrafted that and got to something they were, at least in theory, more comfortable with. That's part of the U.S.-Ukraine conversation. It's an important component. But there is a separate U.S.-Russia conversation, and Russia was completely silent today. And that is an ominous sign, because what has been true since President Trump returned to office remains true. When the United States talks to Ukraine and wants to put something together, it can put something together. When it wants to talk to Russia, it can put something together. Merging the two has proven almost impossible, because what's acceptable to the Ukrainians, not to the Russians, and vice versa. That's the sticking point that has derailed things so far. It sounds like it's a sticking point still. And we'll see where the president wants to take things in the next. Well, I would say tomorrow is an interesting day to watch. Steve Witkoff, the president's envoy, will be meeting in Moscow with President Putin. Whatever the soundings are after that will be indicative of how much progress was or wasn't made. The Ukrainian president would like to come to the United States rapidly to meet the president and lock down his part of this deal. The president's pushing him back a little bit on that. So it's all very much up in the air. It's very murky right now. A lot of possibilities, not a lot of details.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting, because, you know, just the other night, three people died in Russia, and then there was more back and forth. I mean, this war is very much still ongoing. So do you think that Ukraine will get rid of or give up some of its land? Is that part of the deal?
So there are lots of different ideas about territorial concessions. The Russians want the Ukrainians to give up territory that the Ukrainians won back on the battlefield. You can imagine how much of a non-starter that is with the Ukrainian government and its military that scratched and clawed to get some of that territory back. There's the pre-2022 invasion reality that the Ukrainians know that they are probably going to have to reconcile themselves to. What is that? Well, when the Russians, non-uniformed, came in and took parts of Crimea, the far eastern Ukraine. They've been there since 2013, 2014. They're probably not going to be ejected by any means at all. They weren't before this war started, the full-blown invasion of Ukraine, and they're probably not, however, this is going to be resolved. So the question is, how much terrain did the Russians acquire after they invaded 2022? Will the Ukrainians be willing to accept the Russians possessing? Nobody knows the answer to that, because that's ground the Ukrainians would not want under any circumstance to give up unless they were forced to. And what's the forcing mechanism? Well, does the United States pull back all support? Well, the Trump administration has said, look, we're not going to directly give you much of anything anymore, but we'll let the Europeans provide it. They can pay us, buy the stuff, and give it to you. Well, President Trump doesn't seem inclined to cut off all arms sales to Europe if the Europeans want to pony up the money to pay for munitions to give to the Ukrainians. So that doesn't sound like that's going to be stopped. So what's the forcing mechanism for the Ukrainians? Nobody knows. Is there a forcing mechanism to force the Russians to concede more? In the president's back pocket, he has the House of Representatives and the Senate that have a full-blown package of economic sanctions, much tougher on banking and lots of other things. The president could signal to Congress tonight, come back to Washington and pass them. It might happen within a week or two. That would change the dynamic. The president has always threatened to do that, but never pushed that lever. Whether he does in this instance or not, we don't know. It's the big X factor. And when there are X factors, you have things that are simply unknown and unknowable, and that's where we are.
Major, it seems like the entire time President Trump is trying to convince President Zelensky to just accept what Russia basically started this war over and just concede mm-hmm. these things. So it really does seem like a lopsided deal. But moving on to something else, the FAA has said that this Thanksgiving travel period is the busiest in the last 15 years. Thankfully, the government shutdown ended a few weeks ago, but that's just it's not just that cut and dry. We also have this looming January 30th date that's coming up mm-hmm. where we may end up in the same position we were over the last month or so. So,
yes.
I mean, with that in mind, are they trying to work towards something that is extended past January 30th, or is it one of those we're just going to deal with it once it comes?
Right. Lots to get to there. First thing I would say, and I don't travel on Thanksgiving. I sit where I am. I don't get to an airport. I don't go to a bus station. I don't go to a train station. I just stay out of it. But if you are traveling and you're at an airport, be nice to your TSA people, because they worked all the way through the shutdown without getting paid. There was a lot of fatigue and uncertainty that went with that. Be nice to them. They have a hard job. Tell them you think. Just be nice to them. Say thank you. So January 30th looms. There's two questions. There are 9 of 12 spending bills that have to be approved. If you don't approve them, the government doesn't have the money. So you got to get that work done between now and January 30th. The other thing is, what was the shutdown supposedly about from the Democratic perspective? The issue of Obamacare extended tax credits, which expired December 31st. The White House yesterday wanted to put a deal forward to extend them. House Republican leadership said, don't do that, Mr. President. We're not interested in making that policy choice. So the White House backed off. You have to resolve both of those things, it seems to me, in my conversations with Democrats and Republicans on this. They say you can resolve one, but if you don't resolve the other, the prospects of a shutdown are still pretty high. So two things have to happen in pretty short order before January 30th to avert a government shutdown. And what the audience needs to look for is any positive signs from Republicans about cohesiveness on the Obamacare tax credits, and people in Washington saying, we are going to pass some spending bills to fund the government for a full year. When you hear those two things, you can be reasonably sure we're going to avoid a government shutdown. If you don't hear them, brace for another one.
Wow. He is your CBS News chief Washington correspondent and anchors the Takeout on CBS News online platforms, YouTube. You can also listen to it in your podcast. Major Garrett, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great time off.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.